from KLW News in San Francisco. This is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Near Eastridge.
Sunset.
Eastside, San Francisco.
Coming up, we'll go to Oakland, where some families wish they could move away from violent neighborhoods, but just can't afford to.
I think there's a lot worse places in Oakland, so I just pretty much say, I better live here than over there, you know.
Then we visit a family-owned restaurant with a communal approach to its business.
So I remember it being a really close relationship with the customers themselves, getting to know them by name, remembering their order.
And a traditionally African-American church adapts to a changing community.
We're helping more than African-Americans. We're helping all the races, literally.
That's all coming up today on Cross Currents. Over the past year, we've talked about the skyrocketing housing costs in San Francisco, and now neighboring Bay Area cities are feeling the ripple effect as people leave San Francisco in search of affordable housing elsewhere. So with prices rising fast, renters are holding on tight to their homes, even if crime within their neighborhoods is going up. Mills student reporter Kim Ip takes us to one apartment building in the San Antonio neighborhood of Oakland to find out how families are dealing with the trade-off between affordable and safe housing.
Chicken salad and tostadas are the first things you smell as you step into the Lopez family apartment. About six people are sitting around a coffee table sharing a meal. Each of the tiny studio apartments houses one family. With 24 families in the building, the space is at full capacity. In the Lopez apartment, food is in the kitchen.
Smells so good. What does that smell?
I walk over to a makeshift table on wheels.
Chicken with cream, carrots, and some chili. Would you like to try one?
The Lopez family has lived in this studio apartment for 13 years.
I was 3 years old when we got here.
The family moved here from Mexico. Edgar grew up in this apartment, along with his brother and sister. He says the kids had a lot of fun playing in the parking lot.
We used to love to play here, hide and go seek under the cars, on top of them, all that. Play cops and robbers, all that.
He takes me out back to show me his favorite childhood spot.
I know. Right there where the bike wheel is where we used to go and hang out. We used to get on top of here and go through the roof and just jump down.
He's pointing to a garbage dumpster with a small square of dirt next to it. Now it's covered in broken wood. When Edgar was young, the kids would climb down from the outdoor stairwell onto the railing and then jump into the mess.
There used to be buckets of trash that we'd land on, and we just played around in there. Yeah.
Edgar says he and his friends were pretty free to roam the apartment building. They could make noise and mischief and play outside in the neighborhood.
When we were young, there used to be no silence. We literally used to be outside at 9, just here.
9 o'clock?
Yeah, before it got bad.
It got bad, he says, because crime around the apartment increased dramatically.
Well, when it started getting more dangerous, like, just random people would come in with, like, beer, alcohol, cigars, all that, and start smoking or drinking inside here.
Besides loitering, Edgar says there was a spike in prostitution about 6 years ago that the neighborhood is now notorious for. Suddenly, all the kids had a curfew.
At 9 sharp, they would all come inside, like, you had to be at home by 9.
Or else.
You get a whooping.
Edgar says when things started getting bad outside, he had to play inside.
And I used to come in here and watch him play, like, Doom 3 and, like, other games, and we would play, like, Smash Bros. And stuff like that.
No me siento muy contenta con que él vea juegue mucho, pase mucho tiempo jugando.
Edgar's mom, Evangelina Lopez, is not happy that her son is holed up inside, in front of a screen so much.
Entonces, como mamá, me siento preocupada.
As a mother, I get worried because I know it's not a positive environment. But at the same time, I'm afraid when he goes out in the streets because something could happen to him. So I'm between a rock and a hard place.
That hard place she's referring to is the reality of the crime happening around their neighborhood. Their apartment faces International Boulevard, where Edgar can see and hear it all.
I saw a girl be beaten, like, right in front of the house, like, across the street. You could just see it. There was no cars parked there, so it was, like, two Afro guys, Afro-American, and just beating up a girl.
Edgar says at first it was shocking to see fights in the street, but over time, he just got used to it.
I used to see it, like, starting from maybe when I was 9. But now that I'm, like, older, I don't really see much of it. Like, I hear about it, but I don't really see it. I think there's a lot worse places in Oakland to live in. So I just pretty much say, I better live here than over there, you know?
Teresa Salazar has lived in the building for nearly 2 decades. Like the Lopez family, Salazar says conditions here are deteriorating. One time, she came home from shopping in the middle of the day to find 2 people having sex in the lobby.
I opened the door, and the man and the prostitute is in sex act. It's 2 o'clock p.m. It's in a day. I opened the door. Oh, my God. Come on, come on, come on.
Salazar told the apartment manager, but she says he said he couldn't help.
Well, it's not my role. Please.
So she went all the way to the city council.
There are so many people, so many complaints about it.
That's Mandolin Mendoza, an aide to Pat Kernahan, council president and representative for the San Antonio district.
You know, if no one complains, we never find out about it.
Which happens a lot. Many people, especially those in low-income areas, don't know how to navigate the city bureaucracy, or they're intimidated. And some people just don't trust the government.
A lot of people, as you've probably noticed, are very scared that they'll get deported or things like that.
So a lot of these types of problems go unreported. But in the case of this apartment complex, people did complain, and the city is taking action.
Well, OPD is involved, and the neighborhood services coordinators are also involved. So, and they spend a lot more time out there, and they know all about the situation, so they make regular stops.
And that's pretty much the most the city can do. The problems of the apartment complex aren't explicitly stated in California's renters' rights, so there's no clear regulation about how to proceed.
There's no real guidelines for it. We have to give the manager a fair chance to correct the problem.
And Mendoza is optimistic that will happen.
I think that there is hope. I believe in this situation we are going to correct it.
But for the residents of the apartment complex, the question is whether that will happen soon enough. Evangelina Lopez has noticed a change out on the streets.
The crime and prostitution have been getting worse all the time, so crime like robberies has increased. I feel unsafe, and that's why at around 5 or 6, people are inside their houses because of fear, fear of being attacked.
Por temor a ser agredido, asaltado, o alguna otra cosa peor.
She says it makes her angry that she's starting to get used to these housing conditions.
If you're from a low-income family, that's why you live in this building. We have cockroaches, there's rats, and, well, we can't leave because we can't pay any higher rent.
So the Lopez family feels stuck. Rent is relatively cheap in this area of Oakland. Studios go for about $600 a month, much less than most parts of the city. So for now, Evangelina and Edgar will have to make do at the apartment on International Boulevard.
But like your question, do you think you will stay here? Well, you never know, but as of now, the answer is yes. We have no other option.
Maybe not yet. City officials are working to find other options for people like the Lopez family. But they say reform is slow and progress takes a lot longer than anyone would like. For Cross Currents, I'm Kim Ip.
Kim
Ip is a reporter at Mills College, where that story was produced. And if you've had to trade off safety for affordability, tell us your story at our tip line. Just leave us a message at 415-264-7106. That number again is 415-264-7106. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. One way to feel safer in a neighborhood is to create a sense of community between neighbors and local business owners. It's something the Vasquez family has been trying to cultivate for years at their restaurant Jalisco's. Mills student reporter Mariah McKnight takes us there to see how this family-owned restaurant inspires its neighborhood to tackle problems with a more communal approach.
Jalisco is a family-owned Mexican restaurant in the heart of Oakland's San Antonio district. A chef is chopping up a slab of pork right off a pig's leg. The whole place smells like roasted pork and corn tortillas.
Hello, everybody. My name is Antonio Vasquez. I am the owner of Jalisco Restaurant here in the city of Oakland.
Vasquez says Jalisco is one of the oldest restaurants in the neighborhood.
January 1967, my dad opened the doors to Jalisco Restaurant.
Vasquez has worked at Jalisco all his life, along with his five sisters and two brothers.
Back in the days when my father was here, everybody was always in a good mood. Customers, my family working here.
He says everyone knew each other by name.
So I remember it being a really close relationship with the customers themselves, getting to know them by name, remembering their order.
And these close personal relationships extend far beyond the restaurant itself. Over the years, Vasquez developed a real sense of pride in his neighborhood.
I love my location. The customers are fantastic.
He's seen customers date, get married, have children.
And their children are coming in, and those children grow up. And it's really nice to be able to talk to them, seeing them, the whole family thing. You know, they dated, they got married, they had their children, and their children come in and they know what to order, which is really cute, I think. You know, it's really nice.
But there are problems too. Recently, the streets in San Antonio have become more dangerous. Some businesses are closing their doors, vacant buildings are becoming more common, and crime is way up. Last year, major crime increased nearly 24%, and 126 people were murdered in Oakland. Other problems, like property crime, rose by a whopping 42%. Vasquez has seen this firsthand.
We have graffiti, we have prostitution in the neighborhood. That has been an issue, I would say, in the past 8 to 10 years, that has been an issue.
And he says the neighborhood just looks worse than it used to. Illegal trash dumping is rampant.
People tend to pick San Antonio District to come and unload their trucks with garbage, mattresses, batteries, clothes, you name it, it's a problem. It's a hazardous problem, a health issue. You know, it attracts dogs, animals, pets, rats.
His neighbors have also witnessed these problems, he tells me as we tour his neighborhood. There are a few spots in particular where you can see this. Vasquez takes me for a walk along International to show me.
We've had late night problems in the neighborhood, like maybe some shootings a block up or a block down from International Boulevard. During the time we've had the prostitution problems, the graffiti problems, the trash problems. So walking up north on International here, they've been here a while, so they have been able to witness the same thing I do.
Vasquez and other business owners aren't the only people to witness this decline. The East Bay Asian Youth Center, or IBASI, has seen it too. IBASI is a nonprofit founded in 1976 to help families and small business owners in Oakland. Lately, they've been working directly with people like Vasquez for their listening campaign.
What you don't like about the neighborhood?
That's IBASI's Javier Sabaja. He and others have been going around the neighborhood, knocking on doors and asking residents what's not working for them.
So whatever comes on top of their mind, they don't like their streets, they don't like their neighbors, you know, they don't like the stores, whatever they say, we take notes on that. So it's open question why you don't like.
Then, Ibesi works with residents to solve those problems, like at a recent community meeting where neighbors were organizing.
So that's basically the ultimate outcome of the meeting, trying to develop leadership within the community and then to focus certain issues and begin to work on those issues.
Residents in San Antonio, like Vasquez, are optimistic about the project, even though there's still a lot of work to be done.
Before Ibesi, I don't think there was any, like, neighborhood meetings. I don't think there was any, not a strong influence on the Neighborhood Watch program. Before Ibesi, everybody was kind of, like, just independent. I don't think people around here talked to their neighbors. Maybe they knew them, they saw them, and they would just say hi with, you know, wave with their hand. But I don't think they would, you know, go out and talk to their neighbor for about an hour or two or go say, hey, what's up? What are you doing? You know, like we did earlier today.
Now they're talking and organizing, coming together to find solutions to make the neighborhood safer and stronger. For Cross Currents, I'm Mariah McKnight.
Mariah McKnight is a student reporter at Mills College, where this series was produced. You can let us know what local businesses or institutions tie your community together at our Facebook page. We're KALW. This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Just 8 blocks up from Jalisco's on International Boulevard, you'll find another historic institution, the 74-year-old Williams Chapel Baptist Church. It's in the heart of the San Antonio East Lake District, and its congregation is predominantly African American. Membership used to average around 800 people, but in the last 20 years, membership has gone down to about 500, as the demographics of the neighborhood have undergone massive changes. The African American community has steadily moved out of the district to other parts of Oakland and the Bay Area, and the church is struggling to attract new members. Mills student reporter Teresa Soares takes us to Williams Chapel to see how it's reaching out to a community that is very different from what it used to be.
Pastor Anderson is standing at the pulpit in front of a small congregation on a recent Sunday morning. The worshipers are into the service. They're standing up, belting out a psalm, and grooving in place. As they finish singing, Anderson begins his sermon.
I was not in God. Yeah, but he was with God.
Anderson's been the head pastor at Williams Chapel Baptist Church for the last 3 years. He's preaching in a massive sanctuary to about 10 rows of listeners. Another 40 pews lie empty behind them.
It's been an uphill journey. You know, ministry costs money. And we're a church and not a profit organization, so we survive off of the donations that our membership gives.
But that membership is just a fraction of what it once was. At its peak, the church had over 800 members. Today, there's about 100 people listening to Anderson's service out of about 500 members. In the last 10 years, the black population in the San Antonio East Lake neighborhood has steadily declined, while the Asian American and Latino populations have increased. The fact is, for the first time, the people worshiping inside the church look very different from the people living in the surrounding neighborhood.
For us to be a predominantly African American ministry, 6 lights from Lake Merritt on the main corner of
one of Oakland's busiest streets, international. To be around other ethnicities than just being in a predominantly black community with a black church, I feel it's a blessing.
So Anderson is reaching out beyond the African-American community. He says that's one of the only ways the church can grow because of the changing cultural dynamics of the neighborhood.
That's what our focus is. We know what community we are in as of now, which is predominantly Chinese, Vietnamese. So they're all God's people.
A changing community also brings its own problems with it. While the church is trying to bulk its membership back up, it faces another set of challenges from the outside.
The graffiti is very, very strong in this community. Just about every business up and down international, it's gang affiliated.
Anybody driving down international sees this immediately. One of the first things Anderson did after becoming pastor was repaint the church.
And I just prayed and I said, Lord, I don't want this church to look like an abandoned building in this community. Lord, please allow us to get the church painted.
And he did. The church stands radiantly clean amidst the surrounding buildings on International, many dilapidated or abandoned. Still, Anderson decided not to paint one of the church walls.
That wall is a reminder for all of us, and even for the community, for those that come by, to tell them, don't forget what we once looked like. You know, sometimes we stop caring, we stop making sure that we have the right spirit and the right enthusiasm to continue to be this light in this dark community.
When he says dark, he's referring to the many challenges the neighborhood faces, like the graffiti, the recession, crime, and something that has been growing in this neighborhood.
The prostitution, it's a different world at night. Many young girls are literally selling their body, some not because they want to, but it's survival. Some have been kidnapped and put on some type of drug.
So one of the programs the pastor plans to start is HIV awareness to target some of the new problems and residents in the neighborhood.
And I'm proud, I'm honored to be in a community that isn't just African American. We're helping more than African Americans. We're helping all races.
And here's how they're doing it.
We are in the process now of working with particularly a Chinese Christian church that wants to be a part of our ministry.
But Anderson is also mindful of the language barrier within the neighborhood.
We're in the process of doing a tutorial and literacy program for the community because we know the community that we are in, English may not be their first language. So we may not have as many races within the walls on Sunday morning, but we are touching so many lives after Sunday. Go back to your seat, believer. This
little light of mine. As the neighborhood changes, so does this community institution. It's been here nearly a century, survived World War II, the huge migrations to and from Oakland. So Pastor Anderson thinks it's likely to withstand these newest shifts with a little faith. For Cross Currents, I'm Teresa Soares.
Teresa Soares is a student reporter at Mills College, where this series was produced. And special thanks to Ingrid Sire Ochi for her help on the series. To hear more local stories or subscribe to our podcast, go to kalw.org. And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Isabel Angel, Hannah Baba, Julie Kane, Leela Day, Dora Finkelstein, Audrey Dilling, Maya DePaula Hanica, Teddy Lederer, Lisa Carmack, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Ray Sue Sussman, Alyssa Kapnick, Linda Ju, Laura Sapanara, Leah Rose, Judy Silber, Stephen Short, Seth Samuel, Melanie Young, and Mary Willis. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. And thanks to you, KALW is independent, locally sourced, listener-supported public radio. And we just completed our successful Shorter is Better membership campaign. KALW can innovate because we are supported by this local community. We thank you. The band American Nomad is rooted in the traditions of folk music and swing dance, which makes them naturals to appear at this weekend's Free Folk Festival. It's the festival's 37th year, which takes place both Saturday and Sunday at Presidio Middle School in San Francisco. American Nomad takes the stage on Sunday somewhere around 5 p.m. You can check the festival website for a full schedule of events, and we'll have a link to that information at kalw.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.
The bank man came one early morning. He had a armful of papers and a big black pen. Little did I know I'd never see the inside of my house again. At least I learned about the hard times. You know she kept me strong when it could have been weak. Time to be careful with the